Welcome to the Focus on the Beer podcast. I'm Ryan, and I'm here with Josh Howard.
Hello, I am also here.
We are always
but
here.
But not here. On Zoom.
On Zoom! We are in two separate places, and we are here and there at the same time. It's been a while, so we're a little bit rusty, I think, especially with this sort of it's hard to sort of take cues off of someone on a Zoom call. I think we're all getting better as a society, but definitely not the best thing.
I don't know what he's talking about. I'm half a beer in and I'm amazing at this.
I'm about a third of the way in. I've got one of these new Nihilist Ciphers from Paradox Beer Company. It's their new unfiltered and it is good.
I got to try that the other day and it is really good.
This one, as opposed to the ones that that you and I tried earlier, has a normal beer, 3 SRM color.
Little juicier looking.
We had some cans that were from the end of the run, and so they had a little more hop matter and yeast particulate in them. So if you can think about like green hops and a yellowish brown beer and what color that's going to make, it really comes out almost gray, brown, not the most appealing, but still tasted great, which was, it's not something wrong with the beer at that point. But got another 4-pack the other day as we came back down through the mountains, and I can happily say that it was just those cans. So pretty darn good. They've put out some really good stuff lately. We also picked up their blueberry Phantasma Azul.
Yeah, the Blue Ghost.
The Blue Ghost.
The blueberry. The booberry, some might even say. Hmm.
Is this a cereal beer?
I hope not. I tell you, I got to take a little bit of exception with this. I've had one too many pastry stouts lately of my own, error, I guess, because they're always way too sweet for me. And they're keep sweet. Buying them because it's like, that sounds like a really cool flavor combination. And then it's like, yeah, but I want like 4 ounces of this, not this whole 16-ounce can.
And you have a 4-pack of the 16-ounce cans too, right?
Yeah, so now it's just like trade bait, Who'll give me a crispy boy in exchange for this Beatus boy?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I feel like somebody posted something. I think it might have been Jeff Ehrman from Paradox. He posted something in the local craft beer group talking about the different colors of beers. And that's my new joke now, is that every beer these days, if it's not a stout, it sits right around that 3 SRM spot, which is, basically what this beer is. It's that, yeah. It's not pale, but it's not like golden or amber. It's just yellow. Boring yellow. But it could be a golden sour. It could be a guava. I mean, I got this guava beer from For the Love of God Brewing in Spokane, and it came out of the can pretty much the same color as this. So...
Saw that one on YouTube the other night.
Yeah, it was actually really good.
You seemed impressed with it.
Darcy and I drank the other can tonight with dinner, and it was tasty. They say it's got milk sugar in it, but as opposed to those pastry stouts, and that's where my brain remembered about this, was basically, it wasn't this like gritty sugar bomb. It was more fruit forward sour with the lactose to help sort of like just give it a little more body. A lot of times with the sours, especially with the, these fruits that don't have a huge amount of sugar in them, like guavas, you got to have something to help sort of
amp it up
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the thing is you can use it to accentuate things, or you can use it to make a beer soda, which I kind of feel is that pastry stout sort of thing where it's, I don't even want to know how many pounds there are in that batch. I assume there's a half pound in my can.
Well, when Jamin and I did that that hazy collab series at Storybook a couple years ago, mm-hmm. we did a bunch of test batches, 5-gallon batches with different varying amounts of lactose in them. And I'd like to try this again because that was with an IPA, so you had a lot of bitterness to sort of counteract it and balance it. I would love to sort of test it out with a stout to see where you get to that point where too much is too much. But we found that, I mean, especially for this crazy, I mean, it was a double hazy IPA, and it was, I think we ended up at about 3.5 pounds per barrel, I think is what it is, maybe. But we had ones where it was like we were at 5 pounds per gallon or something like that. Because we put 5 pounds in 1 gallon and tried to get it to dissolve, which it basically didn't. It was a slurry at that point. That was part of the trial. It didn't work, so we backed it way off, and it was perfect. You know, it had the right amount without being gritty or feeling like you were drinking like a undermixed Ovaltine or something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, it's always interesting to see, like, something that I had just for Easter recently was the Cadbury cream from Wiley Roots, which is this, you know, supposed to be this marshmallow cream sort of milk stout, but it's really roasty. So I get roast and then like that cream, you know, sugary bit. The roast is what kind of was throwing me off. So it almost tasted like an oversweetened black coffee to me, which was I don't know, something funky with that particular batch of stout or what. I don't know.
That's definitely not your style.
Yeah, and we all know how I feel about coffee, coffee beers anyway. But it was just tough to drink because it was too sweet. Of course, you know, that was my primary complaint. But then it just, like, I would have loved to have seen it, you know, without all that stuff in it, just to see where that base milk stout was at, because it felt like that was like too far down the roast side for a good milk stout. It was really robust in that regard. So it may just be me being sensitive to it. So I'm willing to concede that point.
I have a can of that. I left it at my parents' house over Easter. So they're bringing it back down this week when they're coming down to watch our kid.
I was going to say, if you want another one, I still got a couple.
No, Cody got me one. And so I'll definitely give it a try. I was just thinking about it. I wonder if a lot of these beers with all these adjuncts and milk sugar, if they fall prey to some of the issues that a lot of these really hoppier end beers land, where they like, as they're canning it, they're finding there's some stratification. So, you know, layers of really hoppiness and layers of less hoppiness, like in the beer itself. So I'm wondering if in the can, you're pouring off the top bit of a Cadbury cream stout, not knowing that this is actually richer than this part.
Yeah. Well, I pour the whole thing into a glass. I've kind of gotten into that habit now, knowing that that stratification thing happens with so much, that I've taken to pouring stuff out into a glass. Of course, it works less well when you're sharing said can, because then someone's getting the, you know, the goo at the bottom and someone's getting the fairly clear stuff at the top. So yeah, it's almost, you know, part of the ritual now. You take the can, turn it over, roll it across the table a couple times gently just to break up that stratification.
Yep. All right. So it's been a while since we had a podcast, but a couple breweries just opened up here in Colorado Springs, and a couple more are on the way, even ones that we thought might have been dormant. So Red Swing and Mash Mechanics just opened up pretty much like within a week of each other.
Yeah, exactly.
It was, I went to Red Swing's intro, like, industry night, which was, you know, it was good to see everybody out. There was a lot of the local brewery crews out. And then I didn't get to Mash Mechanics on their opening weekend, but I held my little birthday party there. So we all got a chance to try it out. I actually haven't been back to Mash Mechanics since then, because they had that sewer back up and had to close down for a week.
Did the sewer actually back up, or I thought they kind of caught it and said, you know, the drains were slow and it never actually backed up on them.
I don't think it fully backed up, but I think they realized that it was going to if they kept going. Yeah. So they were able to make an executive decision and stop having people there, and with those with, you know, people go through the bathrooms, putting, you know, rinsing glasses. It's a lot of water going down the drain if you don't have a thing that's ready for it.
Yeah.
So,
but it sounds like they've got it all figured out, up and running. Yeah, that's the important thing.
And then other brewery wise, out of like the depths of nowhere, OCC Brewing reared their heads up. Dan and Claire were like, hey, we're still alive. We're still doing this.
A surprise to everybody.
You know, they already had all their licensing. Like, I don't, it's a surprise, but it's also like, at that point, they have to, it's either, well, they already have their approvals from the city. I don't know if they have like a state or a brewer's notice yet, but I'm guessing since they did the city route, they're probably somewhere in the mix on those other things.
Yeah, and it was funny because right before the whole pandemic thing kicked in just over a year ago now, I had talked to Dan and was going to talk with him in April of last year to get an update on how things were going. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. And well, that seems like kind of a bad time to touch base with them. So it's good to see that they're still in process.
Yeah, and then a guy, Daniel, from Antelope Ridge Mead. They're a new place that's opening up here in town. More like traditional meads. He and I keep crossing our wires, and we're trying to get together to at least get some samples so that you and I can try it, and we'll bring him on the podcast as well. But life and COVID has made things interesting to try to, you know, figure out how to, like, oh, just drop it by or bring it over or we'll meet you somewhere else. And it's sort of tough to figure out those things, but we'll get that figured out. Non-brewery wise, we've got a couple new spots around town where people can go drink beers, which is pretty fun.
Never a bad thing.
You know, ever since Brewers closed downtown, there hasn't really been that definitive beer spot where you can get those, you know, hard to find beers.
Well, I would say that, you know, the more I've thought about it, there actually kind of is, but it's not downtown anymore. It's the Perry's Pizza up off InterQuest up here. You know, that opened up during the pandemic, and they have proven time and again that they're getting the cool stuff. And that was always the case when I'd go to Perry's up in Denver.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a really good beer buying program, and they get the cool stuff there. So it doesn't solve the itch for anyone in the downtown area, but I mean, I'm happy. It's up close to me.
Yeah, and I think the growth of the brewery scene, just for, you know, tap rooms downtown, with Red Swing taking over FH downtown, Pike's Peak's got their lager house, you've got Brass, you've got Mash Mechanics right downtown. If you want to swing down to Battle Mountain, there's a lot of options right downtown for good Colorado Springs craft beer that we may not have had in the past. And Phantom's there too. I always forget about Phantom.
Yeah, and it's but yeah, nothing is really filling that void, unfortunately. But what you were driving towards, of course,
there was a spot that should have.
yes, should have. But what you're driving towards is this new garden place, this beer garden that's opening up.
Yeah,
and they're taking a tack of, you know, just featuring, is it Colorado beers that they're featuring, or what are we talking about with them?
I thought I saw somewhere, and it might have just been someone's post in one of the beer groups, that they're putting together a Colorado Springs only tap list. I don't know if that's the actual, like, they're only doing Colorado Springs beer, so maybe they're just doing a Colorado Springs tap list and they'll have other things, because they're gonna probably have wine, and I think they got a beer and wine license. I'm not totally sure. I usually am, like, really on top of those things, but
yeah, be interesting to see if that's their business plan going forward, to just be a Colorado Springs tap room, or if they're going to go all of Colorado, or, you know, if it's just you know, they're starting local and then expanding outwards. I'd be curious to see what their business plan is with all of that in the longer run. But, you know, it is kind of nice. You know, I think about myself, I'm a long ways from places like Rocky Mountain and Battle Mountain, even Cerberus. You know, they're kind of on the other end of town from me.
Yeah.
So it's kind of appealing that that's a little bit closer, but, you know, I'll make a special trip. I mean, I drive to Divide to go to Paradox. So it's not like I won't make a special trip for great beer.
Plus, they got a great outdoor patio. They're in that sort of old, weird, it might have been like a car dealership at some point, across the street from the old Iron Bird location. So
across the street?
Directly east.
Okay.
You're thinking if you go the other direction, that's White Pie, the new pizza place. That also has, you know, good taps and everything.
Yeah. Because I was going to say the other end of, if you went straight south from the old Iron Bird location, there was a car dealership on that corner down by what's now the bench, used to be the Brick House. Right. And that's what I was thinking of, because there was that car dealership there.
No, that was a car dealership that was going to be Dauntless Brewing. And then
what happened to them?
I don't know what happened to them.
They got daunted, huh?
They are definitely not dauntless at this point. I think it's just been, they were raring to go right as COVID hit. And I think just like the wheels came undone. I think it probably what we thought happened to OCC Brewing happened to them, to where
honestly, they might have been in a better spot, you know, no lease in place or anything like that. Maybe they were able to opt out of that and not, you know, eat that rent throughout the course of the pandemic when they had really no means to bring funds in. So yeah, it may have been a godsend for them.
Well, that's the tough thing. You know, you look at spots like Battle Mountain. They took over Gold Camp like March 15th, like right as everything shut down.
Yep.
So they were, you know, they were in this, they were basically a brand new brewery at that point, but with, you know, they just sort of taken things over. They set their, you know, grand reopening for October of last year. So like there was a lot of that happening where people just, they didn't have, they started in the pandemic, and then it was just like, oh crap. Like we saw Paradox, their outpost that they were going to do over there across the street from 503 West.
Teleported all the way down to Trinidad.
Yeah, Trinidad got that, which, you know, actually it looks pretty cool. It's, you know, it's a sort of a, you know, old West feeling town right now. There's not a whole lot of a draw. There's the new state park down there, which is pretty cool. So there's going to be a lot of stuff this summer. I can see us all sort of making a big trip down there to camp and drink beer with Dave, one of their owners, who's basically running that spot.
Yeah. I think he lives down there, so I'm guessing this is probably, he wanted a local watering hole, which who can blame him?
From what I understand, and I know more than I'm allowed to say, but Dave is their, you know, he's one of their main owners. And he's like a ER doctor or some sort of doctor. And he lives in Trinidad. And so for him to drive from Trinidad to Divide to drink the beer of the brewery that he owns,
that's a hike.
That's a long drive. I mean, we're all talking about like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to take a weekend to go down to Trinidad for the outpost. Imagine that being just your, like, something you do every week. So for him to have a spot where they can do retail, I think it's just a tavern. So there's no food. It's just, you know, bottles and beers on tap. So it looks pretty, from the pictures I've seen, it looks pretty cool inside. They got a really cool old building. It's actually probably almost cooler than the sort of strip mall that they were going to go into here in Colorado Springs. So it might actually fit them better. And, you know, they've always been sort of in the weird spots. Like, you know, they were too wild for Woodland Park, so they moved out to Divide, and now they're in Trinidad. Colorado Springs wouldn't have been a good fit, I don't think. Our beer drinkers would have loved it.
Oh yeah, nobody would have complained.
So the other thing, so that's basically sort of all that's happening. If you know of something else that's happening around town and you're wanting us to cover it, just let us know. Shoot us a message on Facebook or whatever, or comment on one of our posts, and we'll either try to cover it here or we'll cover it on the old blog. Speaking of blogs, one of the most notorious and non-blogs called it quits just recently, and it's caused like a vacuum in the
warning either, all of a sudden there and gone, like within the course of 24 hours type of thing.
If you're living under a rock these days and don't know what we're talking about, the worst beer blog, a sort of meme account based mostly on Instagram and Twitter. They had a Facebook page, but it was really mostly just reposts from the other accounts. They called it quits. Essentially what they did is they put up a post on Twitter and said, if this post gets one like, I will delete my accounts. And then they liked it themselves and deleted it. So I know the worst beer blog, at least I've talked to him via text message a bunch. And this has been sort of a joke that he's been, you know, saying would happen at some point, but no one believed that it was true. So I think it's the perfect timing. You know, that COVID is at least winding down. People are getting vaccinated. People are allowed to go out a little bit more, at least until this B.1.1.7 variant rears its ugly head and we're all forced back underground. But
don't say that. You're gonna put that out there in the world. It's gonna come true.
CNN's been putting it out for like a day or so. It's how they get clicks. But no, it's, you know, he was always posting about the worst parts of the beer industry. You know, basically calling us out on our bullshit.
In his defense, I don't know. You know, it obviously, this is a subset of the industry
that's,
you know, making shenanigans. They're not really preaching to the choir, shall we say. It's definitely the subset of, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Right. Essentially you're saying, the breweries that he covered are not like, they don't speak for all the other breweries.
Yeah,
industry.
What I'm getting at. Yeah, it's
it was a very small subset. Yeah, they're the outliers. They're the misfits. But the problem was is that a lot of the times, the things he covered, you would see the comments, and half the comments would be in support of whatever brewery is, you know, putting a middle finger to the governor on their growlers, or, you know, all these other horrible things happening in sort of microcosms. But now we live in this, you know, 24/7 news, instant information age.
The 24/7 news cycle, which is...
There is no...
Awful.
It's awful, but the thing is that it brings... You have to sort of be careful with what you're doing with your brewery. If you... And I put out a post sort of, you know, in the wake of their ending of Worst Beer Blog disappearing, we just all got to be better. You know, if you see a brewery in your town that's basically putting like third grade humor on their cans, call them out
maybe,
on it.
Maybe suggest that that's not the best idea.
Yeah. Be the consumer. And yeah, you could just vote with your dollars. I know a lot of people will do that with these places. They'll just say, you know what, I'm just
but
not
to be
go
fair,
there anymore.
We're also advocating for constructive criticism here.
Right. You don't need to just go there and put them on blast, but, you know, send them a message and say, hey, I'd like to get in touch with the owner, one of your beer names or posts, you know, offended me. Yeah. And just start a dialogue, because most times, a lot of times the people will actually be receptive to that, and they may learn something, or they may change how they would do something in the future. So,
or they won't, which, you know, and
that's their choice. Yeah. But
such is the way of business.
Yeah, that's the way it works. Speaking of business, tomorrow, uh-oh, this is coming out hopefully tonight. I'm gonna edit it right after we get done here. But tomorrow is Colorado Pint Day. The most exciting day.
It's like Pokemon for glass collectors. Gotta get one every year.
Yeah, I that analogy I think is better for one of our later topics of the local thing that happened.
Well, I don't think that was a catch 'em all possibility, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah. But yeah, the Colorado Pint Day, there's 150 breweries across Colorado that are participating. Everyone's, you know, everyone's got different deals, but basically for most of them, it's you buy a beer, you get a glass type thing.
Yeah, I've seen a few that are, you know, buy a beer, it's this amount, beer with a glass is this amount. So some of them are charging you a couple bucks for the glass, some are charging a little bit more for the glass, some are giving them away for free. And it depends on how many glasses you want, you know. There's lots of ways to get them at various and sundry prices.
And if you do run into a brewery that's giving away from free, remember they did have to buy them from the Brewers Guild in the beginning. So
tip at least tip the hell out of your server.
Yeah. You know, tip on what it would be for a full price if you were buying a glass at that point. Just tip them like crazy. But yeah, get out tomorrow. I know I'm going to probably go out at lunchtime and try to find a spot. Bristol's usually my go-to because they usually have they're usually less picked over than some of the other spots.
Yeah, I usually try to get to Pike's Peak personally just because they're the closest one for me. And man, I know last year I tried to go like at the end of the day and they had run out of glasses by 2 o'clock or something like that. So you got to kind of be quick depending on when they fire up, because some places they'll go super fast. And there's definitely people out there that are trying to hit up multiple places and pick up multiple glasses. And, you know, I don't know how they do that because I got so many glasses. One goes in, I got to send one out the door. So,
right. Yeah, I got to break last year's glass just so I can. So, yeah, that's going to happen. Get your running shoes on and get ready for that. In other sort of like regional Colorado beer news, this year was going to be hopefully the return to beer festivals.
It may still. I mean, there's a chance we get some in the fall, but not the big one.
No, GABF is not going to be doing anything in 2021. They'll come back in 2022, give it another year for things to settle down. I mean, they have like 60,000 people showing up to an event in an enclosed small space, drinking heavily. So your immune system's dropping. It's just not a good thing for everybody. So let everyone get vaccinated, let things get figured out, and we'll all come back next year and celebrate.
And they'll probably still run the competition. I mean, they did manage to run the GABF competition last year. Even during the pandemic, they figured out something for distance judging and were able to still do the GABF, you know, competition and awards for those who are willing to ship things in and have entries. So I'm guessing that will still be the case this year, that they will still do the competition aspect of it. There just will not be the in-person festival that we all know and love.
Yeah, the competition is actually going to happen sort of in conjunction with the Craft Brewers Conference, which was pushed from around April, May to September as well. So while there's no mass gathering of craft beer fans, the brewers will still be able to enter in and win their medals. And those will be revealed during CBC.
Which is interesting because that's normally World Beer Cup instead of, you know,
but we're GABF. we're not a World Beer Cup year though.
Oh yeah, that's right. That runs how many?
That's every 2 years.
Every two. Okay.
Every two. Yeah. Next year I think is a World Beer Cup year.
Well, they planned that well.
Yeah, they got lucky with that. So it's going to be great. They're also going to do the passports thing that they did last year for consumers to get discounts and other deals at breweries. And those will be I think they'll put those out in July like they did last year. So, yeah, that's that. In other Brewers Association news, or at least the overarching lobbying corporation, not corporations, HomebrewCon is happening. I'm just spinning out. I don't even know how to connect these two, but
the Brewers Association has ties to the AHA as well as the GABF. So there we go. Brewers Association, the tying link.
Yep. So HomebrewCon, if you're a homebrewer and you want to learn more, HomebrewCon is fully remote this year. It was last year as well. It has been a in-person gathering in the past. Josh went to one in, I think, Michigan, right?
Minneapolis. Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So you got to basically go home almost and go to a fun.
Almost.
Almost.
But yeah, it's a super fun event to do in person. But even the online one last year was definitely interesting. They still had speakers and some panels, some good information for you. Registration just opened up today. I think they're doing $89 early registration for the couple of days worth of content that they're putting out. So
I think if you were an AHA member, I think it's $89. For everyone else, I think it's $99.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm seeing an email right now that was sent today saying $99, but I'm not an AHA member, so
maybe it was 99. I could be remembering wrong.
But essentially, they're going to have live interactive educational sessions. They've got meetups, sponsored demonstrations, some happy hours. They're going to be Zoom happy hours.
Yeah. Guest speaker is the guy who came up with the whole Black is Beautiful beer collaboration idea that so many different breweries did. So he's going to talk basketball. About building that community sort of initiative. So that should be interesting to hear about from him. Good speaker to have. Once again, shame that we can't do it in person, but such is the way of things at the moment.
Yep. It looks like early bird rates end April 19th. So 99 will go till April 19th and it'll probably go up from there. It looks like, that should be a good time. I think we're going to try to at least cover some of it. Cause it's fun. You know, home brewing is fun. You don't really make, I never make enough beer to make it worthwhile. Like be like, oh, I'm saving money. No, I'm never saving money. Especially after I have to dump the 5 gallons that I have in the fridge right now.
Wow.
I was doing an IPL and then I let it sit for too long. So it got oxidized and then I didn't pay attention to it. And I'm on this sourdough baking streak right now. And I looked at it the other day. I was like, ah, crap.
different fermentation, airlock dry out or something, is that
airlock
happened?
Airlock I think the airlock got bumped and so it was like we were trying to jam so much stuff in our fridge around Christmas time food wise and I think there was like a full turkey in there at one point that like it was sitting on top of the fermenter and not the
Salmonella IPL.
No, it's going to be an amazing sour IPA is what it's going to be. I'm going to just transform it. it's not going to be anything like that. But now to talk about the thing that happened locally, Lost Friend Brewing helped sort of put together a group of breweries here in town. I think they had 15 breweries that all put out Easter eggs, quote unquote Easter eggs.
Throughout, a really cool idea.
Throughout
a
the community.
Big Easter egg hunt.
For people to find and win fun things. There were no full crowlers just set out, so no one was going to get in trouble for having a crowler or having an IPA sitting in the sun for 6 hours waiting for someone to find it. But people, they stacked gift cards and swag and things inside crowlers. Other people, I know Mash Mechanics hid like
cars,
little matchbox cars around. And then everyone gave out little hints on where their things were. And I think by like midday Sunday, everything had been found.
Yeah.
So it was a huge
Some of the hints were definitely a little more obvious than others. Some were definitely a bit of a stretch, but it's cool that all of them were found. It would be kind of funny to have some brewery go, there's still one out there. I guess we were too good at hiding it, that would have been funny, I guess. I think that would be funny, maybe.
I think that would, too. I wish there was one that was, super hard, where you had to, like get to a certain spot at a certain time of day just to be able to find it. You had to sort of figure out the clues and then like maybe if you missed it for that day, you had to come back the next day to actually get it. So it was really well done. I hope that they do it again next year because it's a great way to sort of get people out of their house and moving around, exploring the town. I think the Matchbox cars or the Hot Wheels cars put around town was very smart for Mash Mechanics and really on brand for them, which was great.
All fun and games, you don't get the cars back. Some toddler finds it. This is mine now.
Yeah, especially if someone found the the Eleanor that was worth like a.
I did appreciate the Gone in 60 Seconds reference.
Yeah, I mean you have to. It's great. I'm trying to think what else we have to talk about.
There's Feast of St. Arnold may still be happening this year.
Yeah, when we were segueing into GABF, I wanted to sort of make a reference to that, but I think we can talk about it by itself here. I know that Brian and their crew over at the church are working with El Paso County Health to make sure that everything can go ahead as planned. Usually, Feast of St. Arnold is the second weekend in June. But this year, they're bumping it back a couple months. It'll be in August. I think August 14th is the slated date at this point. So, okay. You know, fingers crossed. I was actually going to pull up their website because they're usually pretty good at updating their website and less about letting us know what's going on.
Well, if you got to pick one thing, you know, let everybody know, not just us. But yeah, I think honestly, you know, it being mid-June, pretty much every single time it was on an absolutely sweltering day. So maybe moving it back to August, it'll be a little more forgiving or worse. Hard to tell. It's Colorado. It could be an absolute scorcher or it could be 40 degrees.
Yeah. And then they haven't posted anything since March 1st, but August 14th, 2021 is the date that they are ready to go for. I'm excited. That's actually one of our favorite festivals because it's outside. It's nice. Yep. And they should be able to at least do most of everything. You know, they've got a lot of grounds there. So if they are able to somehow expand things just to give people a little bit more space to sort of socially distance, if that's still something that we need to do at the time, they have a lot of space. So hopefully, fingers crossed, they're able to figure things out. They may have to change up how they do their VIP section and things like that, that are more indoors and under tents. But, you know, it's a great way for the local places to come out and pour beers and smile and maybe, you know, be like, whew, we're done with this. Let's get back to drinking beer.
Yeah, I've been personally at work for my picture on Zoom. There's the shot you took of me at the Firkin Rendezvous in 2020, where I'm kind of backlit, and so I use that as my profile picture.
2019, like, probably not 2020.
No, it was 2020 because it was in February of 2020 before everything got locked down. Yeah, yes. Firkin Rendezvous.
Yes, Firkin was there.
So, yeah, I use that as my Zoom picture at work, and people are like, oh, you look so pensive. I'm like, I want you to know that I'm contemplating a sample of beer that was just handed to me. So
I've also had a lot of other beers before.
Yeah, I don't lead with that.
Yeah, that's a bad way to lead with. But, there was another thing I wanted to talk about, but we'll talk about that in a later thing. Castle Rock is getting a new beer garden concept up there, but Paul Myhill, one of the founders of that concept, is going to come on the show here in a couple weeks and give us a whole rundown on everything. Plus, he also drank beer for 46 days in like a beer Lent and lost like 40 pounds. So I saw his picture on Facebook. He looks like a completely different guy. So it'll be fun to have him on. Make sure you keep buying local beer. I know Weber Street just got new ownership in the last couple months, and they're kicking some butt beer-wise. I've noticed they've got a lot more selections, both on the shelves and in the coolers, fun stuff. Coltrane's always killing it. Cheers and Veterans are my go-tos. I know you go to Bubbles and Newton's.
Newton, for the most part, up here. I mean, they're getting cool stuff in, and, you know, the beer cooler's always got fun stuff back there to stiffed through. So it's they get regular Weldworks drops and Wiley roots and all that stuff. They're another, you know, if you're not downtown, they're a good resource on the north end of the Springs.
And I have to mention, just because east side is something we don't mention as often, J&K is also great over there off Constitution and Powers.
True.
They always have fun stuff. And they usually have some things that are harder to find because they're not as picked over as some of the, you know, Veterans, Cheers, Coltrane spots.
Yeah. Diamond in the Rough type stuff over there.
Yeah. Yeah. You find stuff that you thought everyone was out of. And usually not at a crazy price. You know, they're not, everyone's pretty reasonable. But, anyways, drink beer. Enjoy your beers.
Drink beer, drink local. Try to lay off those pastry stouts, man.
Oh gosh, there's too many of those.
I feel like the COVID-19 was the weight that I gained drinking pastry stouts in the last year.
Yeah, I'm actually, you were asking why I'm jumping around on the Zoom videos. I've got this walking treadmill that I'm on, and it's sort of bouncy. So maybe for our beer share call later, I'll just be walking the whole time, try to burn off some calories. But thanks for everyone for listening. We're trying to keep these ones a little shorter so you guys can actually enjoy them and not feel like you're falling asleep to them. So thanks for listening. We hope to have you have more guests on this year as things open up a little more.
More podcasts, shorter episodes. Listen to them on your drive as opposed to your flights.
Or your road trips or your, you know, transcontinental railroad trips.
That marathon you're running in Boston, you know, those sort of things.
It's nice for us to only have to plan 45 minutes for an episode instead of 3 hours.
I mean, we could do 3 hours, but...
We need Jeff Ehrman to do
that. Dang, yeah. Yeah.
We need Jeff Ehrman for that. Anyways, cheers.
Cheers, all.